This is your KVNF Regional Newscast for Wednesday, May 13th. I'm Audrey McCabe. As wildfire season approaches, the Hotchkiss Fire District posted a reminder to be careful when sharing information online. The post states, firefighting agencies are starting to have a real problem fighting misinformation during emergencies. Please be very careful to verify any information you find regarding fires and other disasters before you react or share on social media. When in doubt, call your local county offices or the federal agency managing the fire to verify reports. On large fires, there is often an official fire information social media page sharing legitimate information. Some spam posts are just a nuisance, but others are causing real panic, citing evacuations and growing fires when there are none. Be careful out there. KVNF is careful to only report from official sources and will keep you updated on emergency situations as they emerge. In March, KVNF spoke with local attorney Alita Swallow, whose client was arrested by Immigration and Customs Enforcement as he was leaving the county courthouse. According to Swallow, the arrest warrant hadn't been signed by a judge, making it illegal under Colorado law. As an update to that story, a federal judge ruled yesterday that ICE agents operating in Colorado have repeatedly violated a court order on warrantless arrests. According to the Denver Post, U.S. District Judge R. Brooke Jackson said in a 60-page ruling that ICE agents continued making arrests without first determining whether immigrants were likely to flee before a future court date, a step required under federal law and under Jackson's earlier order issued last November. The judge wrote that ICE had failed to properly train agents and said officers in the Denver field office clearly do not know or understand what the law requires. Jackson ordered ICE officials to provide updated guidance and training to more than 200 deportation officers in Colorado and Wyoming. Any officer who has not completed the training within 45 days will be barred from making warrantless arrests. The judge also found that ICE had uniformly failed to properly document arrests, making oversight difficult. He ordered the agency to turn over more arrest records and provide ongoing updates to attorneys who sued ICE over its practices. The lawsuit was brought by the American Civil Liberties Union of Colorado and other law firms representing immigrants arrested by the agency. Attorneys argued ICE continued violating the court's order even after the November ruling. During hearings earlier this year, Jackson sharply criticized testimony from several ICE agents, saying some appeared to have little understanding of the legal standards for warrantless arrests. In one exchange, an agent reportedly sat silently for 30 seconds trying to recall the judge's instructions before Jackson told him he could simply admit he did not know. Immigration attorney Hans Meyer, part of the legal team that sued ICE, praised Tuesday's ruling, calling the agency's conduct breathtaking. In arts and culture news, a new Delta County arts event is taking shape this June. The inaugural North Fork Plein Air Festival will be held in the North Fork Valley and Delta County region in the second weekend of June. The event, hosted by the Creamery Art Center and the North Fork Valley Creative Coalition, welcomes painters from near and far to come experience, get inspiration, and interpret this vibrant region, home to orchards, ranches, wineries, and the north rim of the Black Canyon of the Gunnison. Artists will paint on location anywhere within Delta County, with all work created outdoors. Event organizers will mark participants' blank canvas at the Creamery Art Center to verify that paintings were created during the designated competition window and not brought from the studio. Scott Ruthven, a decorated Colorado landscape painter, will serve as juror for the event. The U.S. Forest Service says it can no longer manage a popular recreation area in western Colorado, near Aspen. As Caroline Yanez reports, it's hoping the local county will take over management of the area starting next summer.
The Maroon Bells Scenic Area draws over 100,000 visitors to the White River National Forest each year. The Forest Service says there's an almost $300,000 gap between what it costs to manage the bells and the revenue they bring in, and it's not sustainable for the agency. They're encouraging Pitkin County to manage the area for 5 years under a special use permit. Pitkin County Open Space and Trails Director Gary Tenenbaum.
I know a lot of people are talking about the Forest Service is getting cut. But one day, maybe, they'll magically get some money and they'll be able to do this. Well, if the county does this, we can give it back.
The move comes amid concerns over the Trump administration privatizing public lands and a massive reorganization of the Forest Service. The White River says it's doing better than some other national forests in staffing levels, especially compared to last summer, but it's still not fully staffed. Caroline Yanez, Rocky Mountain Community Radio.
Over 2 days last week, some 250 third graders from around Delta County took part in Conservation Days at the Paonia River Park. For KVNF, Marty Derlin reports.
80 or so Cedar Edge and Hotchkiss third graders trooped around Paonia's River Park on Thursday, May 7th, taking part in a 15-year-old annual event sponsored by the Western Slope Conservation Center. The day before, third-grade students from Delta and Paonia participated in the interactive field trip. Representatives and volunteers from state agencies and local organizations, as well as from the staff and board of the Conservation Center, were on hand as teachers and facilitators.
My name's Nita Hall Carlson. I'm on the board for Western Slope Conservation Center. We are doing Conservation Days, and we have about nine stations where kids will learn various conservation principles like leave no trace, what's a pollinator, some bird watching, some studying what macroinvertebrates are, and micro pollinators, and all kinds of good science things.
We're going to like walk around, see how to cook in the sun.
Are there going to be any foxes?
You know, I have like, seen foxes here. Animals? You might
I just see
one.
See some wild animals?
Is there going to be a
fox pelt?
Yes, that table over there, I think they may have a fox pelt.
This is just really a kind of hands-on experience for the kids. So we quizzed them about all of our different furs here. We got coyotes, bobcats, beavers, skunks, foxes, all these different like, fur bearer furs. Quiz them on it. We give them some facts about them. And then we move on over to the skulls and quiz them on the skulls so they can kind of see like, oh,
this know, is a fox.
This is the bobcat and it goes with that pelt and they can see that. And a lot of times they're like shocked, like, oh, is that how big or small his face is? Really? That's crazy. And then after that, we let them like actually get hands on. They get to open the jaws, look at the, you know, compare the teeth and the faces of the skulls. They get to pet the furs and feel how soft they are. They get to hold the antlers and it's always fun to be like, they put the elk antler up on top of their head. I'm like, could you imagine carrying that around on your head all year long? And what I've been told is one of their favorite booths every year.
And what I'm going to ask you through this program, if you know what it is, put your finger on your lips. Did you know it was a sandhill crane? Have you heard that sound from sandhill cranes? They have a really loud call that you can hear from a long ways away. The sandhill cranes live here in the winter, and they migrate, which means fly a long distance, to go north in the spring so they can spend the summer and have their nests up there. When they find a place to live, they usually like to live in the wetlands. Does anybody know what a wetland is?
Yeah. It's a land like a desert, but it's wet.
It's got a lot of water in it. Almost a lot of times it looks kind of like a really big lake.
So they get out of the classroom and they get to come out here to the Paonia River Park, which is itself a restored in-stream gravel mine. So many years ago, this was a gravel operation. And for anybody who's come out and walked these trails, you know what the changes have been ecologically and how the space has changed too. So kids get to see that as well. It was a long process. You know, the property was donated by United Gravel Company at that time, and it took us many years to get funding in place and be able to build the trails and also start the restoration work. Yeah. And of course now it's just become such an amazing community resource. And there wasn't access to the river really prior to the Paonia River Park. It's mostly private property up and down our river. Yeah. And so to be able to get to the water that feeds our community and is the lifeblood of this area is just really special.
Thanks to the Western Slope Conservation Center's Executive Director, Hannah Stevens, Outreach Coordinator, Keisha Anderson, and Board Member, Nita Hull Carlson, as well as District Wildlife Manager, David Gerzik of Colorado Parks and Wildlife, the Black Canyon Audubon Society, and the third graders of Delta County. For the KVNF Regional News, I'm Marty Derlin in Paonia.
That's your KVNF Regional Newscast. I'm Audrey McCabe.